Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I am here with Julie Blood, and we are going to talk about her three books. It's a trilogy called The Celestial Love Trilogy. And she's a happily married mother of two boys who likes to read, write, decorate cakes, and put puzzles together. And we just wanted to talk about the first one, Celestial Love. Eventually, we'll cover all three of them. But I thought it's such a cool title, and I want to unpack everything. First of all, how did you know that you wanted to write? Can you think back in your childhood to those first moments when it just, hey, this is something that I want to do?
Well, as a child, it didn't occur to me to write anything down. I was always making up stories and telling tales, but I wasn't actually writing them down except for school assignments.
So as time went on and then technology came, and even if someone can't spell very well, if they have creative writing abilities, that technology really does help. So just set the stage when this plot for your Celestial Love Trilogy, when did that begin to take birth in your mind?
Back in the early 2000s, I was a new mother. I was home a lot with my kids, and I was reading a lot of Christian fiction. And it frustrated me when I would see so little of God in the Christian fiction, and what I did see didn't necessarily ring true with the Bible story. And I didn't want to have an argument or a debate with anyone about their particular beliefs, but I was like, if it just told a little bit truth, biblical truth in the story, if it didn't jive with someone's perspective, they could just look it up. They could, maybe it would be an opening for the Holy Spirit to lead them into, you know, a stronger relationship with Him. And so I was like, well, how could I write a story that wouldn't get kicked out because, oh, well, it's this versus that, you know, one denomination versus another, because that wasn't what I wanted to do. I just wanted to spark people's interest. And so I was like, well, if I did it up in space and, you know, it's totally out there, I could add all kinds of interesting twists and turns to the story, and it could be different planets instead of different religions. And there'd be so much more flexibility with just trying to sneak in a little bit more biblical truth into a cool story. And so that kind of got me started.
Let's talk about the story. I like to, you know, whet our appetite about this story. So tell us a little bit about the characters.
Well, you have two primary characters. You have Crown Prince Brian Alexandros, and he is from planet Saxionis, and they have destroyed their planet with pollution and war and violence, and now everyone is living in space stations throughout their territory, spatial territory. And then you have Princess Kalia Newland, and soon to be Alexandros, and her planet has recovered from an eco-disaster like 200 years in their past. But it was so traumatic for them that they are super careful with their planet. They don't worship it, but they see it as a gift from God. And so they do tons of recycling and just very careful with all aspects of their environment. And they see it as a way to worship, not the plants, but God. It's God, the creator. And his planet finds out about her planet, and they work out a peace treaty. But part of that peace treaty, and this is where the book starts, is an arranged marriage between the two of them. So they both go through this struggle of, is this God's will for my life? Is this really worth it? Is it going to work? will I be able to even like this person, much less fall in love with them? And so the book starts out with him flying to her planet for the wedding.
Wow.
And it's really that, you know, jump right into it kind of a thing, or at least that was the plan. Mm-hmm. The whole first story is them on a romantic level trying to figure out, are we going to do this? Is it going to work? You know, all that tension. But then on top of everything else, things start going wrong and she has to run to take care of this and he's chasing after her. Wait a minute, we've got to spend some time together so I can get to know you. And so there's political intrigue going in there as well.
So you have the political intrigue that you just mentioned. You also have an awareness of our responsibility as stewards of the earth. So we just, you know, went through Earth Day. That would be a cool thing to connect to. As you're drawing on the imagery of outer space, how would you even know what to say about that? I mean, I'm trying to think if I could write anything about, you know, little space stations that, you know, it has to ring true. So where did you get that foundation?
I've watched a lot of sci-fi. And so I took a lot from concepts of Star Trek and things like that, and just our own International Space mm-hmm. Station kind of ideas, how they have developed or are in the process of trying to find ways to grow food in space and do things like that. All of that is kind of an underlying issue with his planet, is because their planet is now almost completely uninhabitable and they're subsisting on what they can grow in the space stations and trade for, and it's causing issues. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they really feel like they're at the breaking point. We've got to do something serious or we're going to have to start doing something drastic. And so that's kind of his motivation to take the risk and to sacrifice his crown, because he has to give up being the crown prince to marry her, because she's next in line to rule for her planet as well. He has a twin brother. She doesn't have a twin sister, and it has to be a queen that takes over on her planet. So
now, do you have different characters, or is everyone a human being? Or
everybody's human until book three.
And book three we'll find out about later. I'm sure that as my listeners are listening to us, they're thinking, I wonder if I could write something. I think it is a gift that God gives, not everyone, just in, you know, individuals. So from your perspective as a parent, answer these questions. My child would potentially be a good writer because I see this, or I'm observing this. What did your parents see in you, you know, reflecting back, that would have triggered the idea, hey, I could really help her develop now as a child into write, you know, becoming a good writer?
I think a lot of it really is just encouragement of, you know, well, did you write it down? Let me see it. How did it go? Let me read it. I want to read it. Show some interest. And then hold back the critique for the spelling and the grammar and mm-hmm. stuff. Look for the storyline. Does the story sound good? What could make it better? I'm not saying don't critique all those other things, but start with just an interest in what's the story and compliment it as much as you can. And then if they ask for help with editing, if they, you know, how do I spell this word? Of course, help them out. Mm-hmm. One of the other things is I connected really well with my English teacher in high school. And even though they had a structured, this week, this quarter we're doing poetry, this quarter we're doing this quarter we're doing that, she was always willing to read whatever I wrote, even if it didn't fit the curriculum. And when I did struggle with some aspect of it, she was always, you know, well, you can do this. Don't worry about it. And it was just a general sense of encouragement and interest that got me started.
You know, you're a writer when you just have to write. You know, you just have to write. So you decided to write, and you wrote one book, And then how long was it before you were able to get the other book done?
With this series, it actually flowed fairly well. I actually wrote the entire trilogy in its original rough draft, if you will, form, before I tried to get it published. These are actually the second, third, and fourth books I've ever written, but they're the first ones to get published because it is a process, cover art, editing. And I found it personally really difficult to edit my own work because in my head, I'm seeing the story and I know what it's supposed to say. And so I don't necessarily see that I spelled that word wrong or that I forgot to put a comma here or whatever. Because in my head, I'm just hearing the story and seeing the story again.
Yeah. So do you have a way of, do you read out loud to yourself? Do you read the book out loud to yourself?
No, actually, I found friends to read it for me, and my mother's really good at editing as well. I actually ended up having a friend out in Oregon read it and do the final edits for me. It's her specialty. She's a librarian. And I have to give it time. For example, the first book I wrote, it took me a long time to write it, but then I had poured so much of myself into it when someone suggested that I needed to trim it down. It was too emotional for me. Yeah. I had to wait 5 years before I could go back and trim that book.
Yes, yes. Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, we have some additional questions. We're talking to Julie Blood about her trilogy, and we'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. I am talking with Julie Blood, and we're talking about her trilogy called Celestial Love Trilogy. And if you were with us in the first half, you heard about her desire to have her writing connect others more closely to God. And I think that's always a great goal. Everything that we do on this earth really should help us to look at things from an eternal perspective. So we were talking about, you know, that process of writing. We've talked a little bit about how a parent might look at a child and say, I think they have a gift for writing. And you've mentioned some things. My child might have a gift for writing if they like to tell stories and if they like to act out things. And my child might have a gift for writing if they like to write things and they are always trying to get me, the parent, to read what they've written. And it might seem like just silly little things, but that is where the gift of writing buds. That's the first sign. And we never want to squelch it by demanding that it be written perfectly, that it be spelled perfectly, that the grammar be perfect. You know, we really don't. It's like painting a picture, and those first pictures might be kind of childish, but we still encourage it as parents. So you took your book and I guess there's a name for it, I don't know, but you let it sit for 5 years and then you came back to it.
The first one, yes.
So when you came back to it, did you change a lot in it?
On that book, yes, but with Celestial Love, the process was a bit different because the story wouldn't stop. It was just pouring out of me. So I finished Celestial Love and I made myself take a couple weeks break, and then we ended up going on a family vacation, and we were actually, it was a business trip for my husband actually, but we all went along, and I ended up writing most of Celestial Intrigue in about 3 weeks. It just flowed so fast. I couldn't believe how quickly it flowed. And then it was probably the next year before I did Celestial Victory. But I had the full series written within a 2-year time frame.
So as you're writing, how do you know when a chapter ends?
It just feels like it. I don't know how else to explain it. I try to pick a good spot, and sometimes, you know, where it just kind of fits the story. Mm-hmm. There's a change in scene, or there's a interruption, and so it adds a little suspense or mm-hmm. something. But I don't like cliffhangers at the end of every chapter. I don't like they're going to bed at the end of every chapter, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing, not the end of a day. It needs to be broken up a little bit more. So sometimes I actually end the chapter because it feels like it's been too long.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it's usually just when it's a good, convenient place, like in a conversation, mm-hmm. they're wrapping it up. And so we do a scene change or something like that.
So how do you incorporate your spirituality in it?
In the characters themselves. Usually it's a conversation, especially in the Celestial Love series, between the two people when they're just discussing their differences, or someone says something off the cuff and the other one is like, what? Is that what it says, really? You know, kind of a thing. And so it's never in a argumentative way. I always try to work it in naturally. And a lot of times sometimes the character is praying, and so they're sharing their understanding of God just in how they relate to God in their own relationship with him. So it's not about sharing him with others as much as it's living that relationship themselves. So there's several different aspects of it.
Yes, and that makes it much more interesting to let this story play out. Now, how do you use dialogue?
A lot. I have a tendency to talk a lot, and so do my characters. I actually had one of the people who was helping me say, you never talk about what it looks like. And I'm like, you mean I'm not setting up the scene enough? She's like, yeah, I never know what they're wearing. And I'm like, I never care what anyone is wearing. Oh, dear. So I had to actually go back and flush out the story a little bit more mm-hmm. and make sure I put more descriptions of the scenery and what they're wearing and what someone else is wearing and how tall they are and things like that, that in my head I just see it, and mm-hmm. so I forget to add the details yes. for the reader. And so it's an interesting process to
yes,
because a lot of the story flows in dialogue.
Now, in some books I'll see where they give like a little glossary of characters. Do you have so many characters that you need to do that? Or
yes. My mother insisted, actually, because she couldn't remember who was who. I didn't want to give away the whole story in the mm-hmm. character list, but books 2 and 3 definitely have it. To be honest, I can't remember if I put it in book 1 or not.
Oh, here it is. Now, do you ever use the flashback?
I don't believe I included any flashbacks in this other than if they're telling a story of their youth.
Okay, so.
But not like a mental flashback.
So how do you connect from Celestial Love to the second book, Celestial Intrigue?
There is a prelude, a prequel to it. There's just an extra little beginning to kind of connect you back. And they talk about what has gone on between book 1 and book 2. Because book 1 has a bit of a dramatic ending.
Yes, and so that's where the cliffhanger would make me want to read the next book. I like trilogies. I tend to gravitate towards them because when you get into a good book, you don't want it to end. It's that part of you where you can just, for a moment, forget about all the trials. And, I mean, we might call it escapism and things like that, but there's just, I think God created our imaginations so that we can think about things other than what we're going through. He created humor. Do you use any humor in any of this?
Yes. They have, I think it's a fun sense of humor, but you'll have to tell me what you think.
Yes, and I would like my listeners to come to their own conclusion too. It's humor is an interesting thing to include, but you know, if it's serious, then you kind of need that comic relief because it just gets too serious. So why did you decide, well, I think you've already answered that. Let's talk about our imagination. I came from quite a conservative background where the imagination was actually looked in, kind of scorned at, frowned at. Did you have to overcome any of that where people just thought you should only read true stories, you should only write true stories?
There was a little bit of that at school, but I think I got away with more flexibility on fiction because my mom was addicted to it.
So she recognized. You know, I once asked, I think it was they had done a movie on Narnia. And so I got to ask the producer, how does the imagination play a role in our salvation? And that was pretty interesting. You know, I didn't have any frame of reference what he would might say, but he said simply, you can't even begin to fathom God's love for you if you don't have a well-developed imagination.
I also think that in the Bible it says that the glories of heaven are beyond what we can even imagine. And to me, that says that God wants us to try. That as we get to know him and are wrapped up in his love, we yearn to be with him, and he wants us to picture the best we can come up with. And then he gently says, it's better.
Yes, yes. Isn't that true? Because he says, you know, you can't imagine what it's going to be like. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to imagine what it's going to be like. We can imagine the most glorious thing, and then, well, we know it's better than that. So that just would give, you know, good, happy feelings, and a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So I can't see that's just a win-win situation. So let's talk as we're coming to the close of the show. Are you still writing?
Yes, but not as much as I'd like. I have a job and kids to put through school. So I'm mostly just making notes and daydreaming a lot.
Yes, and isn't that part of being an author is that angst of, oh, I wish I could write, but I have to do this. I have to help put food on the table. I have to attend to my children's needs, but that won't last forever. And so someday, you know, they'll be grown and you can get back to writing full time. I'm sure our listeners are going, I'd like to know more about this book. So they can go to Amazon.com or they can Google your name, Julie Blood, and get information on how they can get this trilogy.
Yes, my name is spelled a little differently. It's J-U-L-I. There's no E on the end of it. So it's Julie, J-U-L-I, Blood on Amazon, Celestial Love. And you can get it both in paperback and in Kindle. I'd recommend the Kindle. It's cheaper.
Yes, and you know. Yeah, after you get done with one book, you'll want to go to the next book. And all I can say is it's a beautiful title because isn't it true that God is the main celestial love that we have to look forward to? So with that being said, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.